I'd like to welcome you all to the call. This is the second series of three, and the title of this one is Assessing Your Present State of Affairs. As you all know, we did our first call on completing and healing your past, and our next call will be on designing your future. So I'd like to invite all of you to take some notes this evening as we go. The call will be recorded, so you will be getting a copy of it. But in particular, I'd like you to record any questions that you have, and especially any insights as we go along. Tonight, we're going to be really looking within. We're going to be looking at the present as opposed to the past. And we're going to be looking at what's important to us such that we can design the rest of our lives in choice out of a commitment for our future. So the four areas that I'd like to begin by speaking a little bit about that we typically measure self-esteem around are first our power, our personal power, or our ability to influence and to control others. The second is our significance, and that's our ability to be accepted by others or to have affection and to earn the attention and the trust of others. This category also includes our appearance. The third area of self-esteem is our virtue. And that's how we really feel about ourselves morally, whether we feel like we're a good person or whether we feel as though there's intrinsically something missing there, that we're evil or sneaky or underhanded or somehow we don't measure up in the virtue category. And then the fourth category is competence. And this is our ability to really produce a result, our ability to really move things forward in the world and to be in control of our lives, to attract abundance and to produce results and success. So I'm going to invite you all to take a look at those four areas: your personal power, your significance to others, your virtue, how you see yourselves with respect to your moral character, and lastly, your competence, your ability to produce a result in the world. Rate yourself 1 to 10, if you would, in each of those four areas, and identify any areas that might be missing, because those are areas that we're going to be working on as we move forward into week number 3, where you actually design your vision for a life of choice. We're going to work on putting into place whatever elements are missing from those four areas. We're now going to speak a little bit about doing a values inventory. And values are really the fabric of our being together. They're really the things that matter most to us. When we fail to honor our most important or our key values, it really perpetuates low self-esteem because we send a message to ourselves that we're not worthy of honoring those things that are most important to us, the essence of who we really are. And when we live in harmony with these values, we actually nurture our spirits and we elevate our own regard to the point where we start to elevate how we see ourselves. We elevate our position in the world as we see in relation to others. So these key values really exist at the center of our being, and when we violate them, life becomes a struggle. When they're dishonored, we become angry. Our communication breaks down. We become non-communicative. We don't want to talk. We don't want to be social. And our relationships suffer as a result. When this happens, we feel resentful toward others, and we feel bad about ourselves. To the contrary, when we start to honor these key values, we can now be happy. We can find meaning in life. We start to direct our lives toward the pursuit of those things that are most important to us. And we start living consistent with the realization of these values. So I'm going to ask you, as I mentioned some of the most common values, to start to identify those values which are not being fully honored for you. Some examples of values are safety, love, happiness, security, belonging, peace, freedom, adventure, intimacy, integrity, communication, respect, and abundance. And that's only a short list. So again, I'm going to ask, which of the key values do you feel that you can't happily live without? So which are so important to you that life wouldn't be worth living if you didn't have that value honored in your life? And then most importantly, which values are not being fully honored? And how does this affect your vitality and your self-image? For example, if let's say that you have a value of love and you're not in a loving, caring, intimate relationship, well, then that value is not being honored. So you wouldn't feel good about yourself because of the fact that you're not honoring your most important value. Another example would be integrity. Let's say that you find yourself lying, or you find yourself cheating, or somewhere you're out of integrity. You're not walking your talk. Well, you're not going to feel very good about yourself again. Your self-esteem is going to suffer because your value of integrity is being dishonored. Another example would be freedom. If you have a value of freedom as being very important to you, and you're working 16 hours a day, and you're not having fun, you're not going on vacations, you're not free to live a life of choice, then you're dishonoring that value. And the same is true of all of the others. Belonging, for example, if you have very few or no close relationships, you don't belong. If you're not part of a larger group, that value is suffering. Security, for example, if you are living paycheck to paycheck, you don't have a nest egg, you don't have a reserve, you're not living securely, and so your self-esteem will suffer because you're on the edge, you're living at risk in an unhealthy way. And so, like all of the other values, I'm going to ask for you to write down those values that are most important to you that are not being totally fulfilled. And I'm going to ask you to consider this question, and that is, what will you put into place in the next 30 days to honor these essential components that nourish your spirit? In other words, what values are you going to manifest in your life, and how are you going to do that? And also, I'm going to ask that you name at least three people that you'll ask to support you in honoring these values. So depending upon what the value is, ask yourself, who could best support me in honoring this value? Let's just say, for example, the value is peace, and perhaps you're in turmoil in your household with your kids, with your spouse. Perhaps what you're going to do is you're going to share that your value is peace and that you're committed to peace, and for your part, you're going to live peaceably. You're not going to live in turmoil. You're not going to argue. You're not going to be angry, or you're going to catch yourself and reinterpret the situation as we discussed last week before you vent. If, for example, let's say that you have a value of communication, perhaps the people that you'll share that with are the people that you're in business with and in relationship with and in your family. So whoever can best support you with each of the values, you're going to make those specific requests. And so also answer this question, what specific actions will you immediately take to manifest this value in your life? I'm going to stop here for a moment before we continue and ask if anyone has any values that they'd like to share that are most important to them and how you see yourself honoring that value in your life.
It's Rick here, Joe.
Hi, Rick.
I would say for myself, you mentioned it, is freedom. I've been probably 30 years in the same occupation. I haven't really enjoyed it. I feel like I'm in jail every day, and I need to get out. I need to be doing something different with my life, and I have to find a way to do that. So it's part of the reason why I'm on these calls.
Okay. Who will you make a request to support you in doing what it takes to honor that value of freedom? There are some people that can support you with that?
Good question. I'm not sure.
Business partners?
Well, I'm basically self-employed. I don't have any partners with me, so I'm looking at selling my business and trying to move ahead with that over the next few months here.
Okay.
I think that's going to be a step in the right direction.
Your wife perhaps can support you in being true to that
value
Yeah,
that's somebody who's definitely behind me in this and is encouraging me. I'm not sure if that's going to be enough.
Okay. Carolyn Jones, perhaps? Is she someone who could support you?
Well, definitely, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
I just talked to Carolyn the other night and told her what I was doing, and she's more than willing to help out, so.
Well, that's a great start. Thank you, Rick. Okay, let's go to the next section, which is obligatory or imposed values. Now, imposed values are when we're actually living according to someone else's rules. And when we do that, our self-esteem suffers because we're not our own person. We're actually suffering. And the definition of suffering is wanting something that we don't have or having something that we don't want. So I'm going to ask you in your life to take a look at where one of those two conditions exist, either wanting something that you don't have or having something that you don't want. Wanting something you don't have can be material things. It can be a quality like peace or harmony, having something you don't want. Rick just mentioned a job that is not honoring him. That creates suffering. The surest pathway out of suffering is to first tell the truth about what it is that is causing the suffering for you. And then secondly, look at where are you not being responsible for moving your life forward with bold action to address the area of suffering. Where are you resigned to the status quo? Where are you living with conditions that don't support you because you haven't taken courageous, bold action to make those conditions right? If our self-esteem is low, we feel as though we sometimes can't act powerfully in the direction to remedy the area that we're suffering in. So I'm going to invite you to realize that you have the power, just as Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz had the power to return home to Kansas anytime that she wanted, just by clicking her heels. We all have that same sort of power if we realize it and we have the courage to act boldly in the direction of our commitment to honor our values. Let's talk a little bit more about suffering. Suffering happens in the area of shoulds, and shoulds are those things that we grew up with typically, or somehow along our lives, we impose other people's ideas about how we should live our lives upon us. And these shoulds don't empower us. They don't contribute to our happiness. They oblige us to really dishonor our values or to live someone else's values. I'm going to give you some examples in some categories. Cleanliness is one. Growing up as kids, we're always told you have to keep your room clean. Cleanliness is next to godliness. You know, why are you dirty again? For some of us, it's so important to be clean that we can't play. We can't go out and play sports because we might get dirty. We might mess up our clothes. That's an imposed value, especially for kids. Scarcity is an imposed value. Many of us grow up being told not to be wasteful. Money doesn't grow on trees. How often have you heard that from a parent? You don't eat all the food on your plate. People are starving in Africa. Shut off all the lights. Do you think that I own shares in the electric company? Things like that create an imposed value of scarcity. And so we grow up not treating ourselves to those things that we deserve because we have it that there's not enough abundance in the world. So one of the ways to enhance our self-esteem is to continually remind ourselves that there is abundance all around us, that we have the ability to access it, and it's really up to us to design the structures and the pathways, so to speak, in order to support us to access it. Obligation is another one. You should do things. You should become a doctor. You should visit those elderly relatives of yours. You should go to church on Sunday. You should provide for your family and be a good provider and a good husband or a good wife. So obligation is really about doing what someone else wants us to do because we have to do it, not because we want to do it. I'm going to invite you to take a look at any place where obligation is ruling your life and ask yourself, are you in choice around this particular area? And decide to be in choice or decide not to do it. What that looks like is there are always repercussions and results to any choice that we make. But instead of suffering with obligation, decide to either do the thing that you're resisting or to decide not to do it and to address and deal with the consequences that are coming there. Respect is another obligatory value. You know, respect your elders no matter what they say. Children should be seen and not heard. A promise is a promise and should never be broken. Some of us that believe that we must respect conditions or people that maybe are set up to control us or dominate our lives, we would be best served to see if perhaps respect should be a two-way street. And if we're not being respected by others, perhaps we need to say what's so for us with respect to some of these relationships. Generosity is another obligatory value. We're oftentimes raised with the notion that good people are generous people, and that you should give a percentage of your income to charity, and if you don't, you're not a good person. You should volunteer your time. You should think of others before yourself. And it's not that generosity isn't a good quality, but generosity out of choice is a noble value. When you're being generous because you have to be generous, it loses something in the translation. Worthiness. How often have you heard if you were more of this quality, you wouldn't have this problem? If you were smarter, you wouldn't be in this situation. If you were wiser, you wouldn't have these struggles. If you were kinder, if you were more ambitious, take a look at where obligation around worthiness is in our lives. Where should you be successful? How should you know the answer? Who should you marry in terms of a professional or a person of a certain religion or a certain race or a certain lot in life? Take a look at all of the obligatory values that you grew up with And I'd like you now to look at which ones are still in place. Which ones do you feel guilty or torn about that you should do, and which ones do you want to do? So again, be in choice about accepting those values that you've decided to pursue and give up the struggle around them. Give up the obligatory nature if you decide to do them, or if not, then decide to dump them. Decide to put them on the back burner. Decide to do and live in choice. Because the force values erode your self-esteem. They tell you that you can't do what you want to do. You have to do what someone else wants you to do. So create an empowering interpretation to explain why others have pushed these values on you. Perhaps they had your best interest at heart. Which of these obligatory values actually support your self-image? Which will you keep in place and which will you discard? Remind yourself that you can create a new interpretation to replace any previous interpretation where you labeled yourself as bad or wrong if you fail to observe any of these obligatory values. I'm going to invite you to take action within the next 7 days on any obligatory values that are not being honored. And let's stop here for a moment and see if anyone would like to share any obligatory values, any place where you're suffering in life, where you're doing things that are other people's shoulds and not your own.
Yeah, going to college, getting a good job, retiring, and dying.
The whole gamut, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, mediocrity is the epitome of where I work at right now, and there is so much more. There's so much. I want a life beyond money, you know, and I do have obligations that I need to, keep. I have a lot of responsibilities I need to keep up, but it doesn't take away or detract from me trying to establish something better in life through OxyFresh.
Okay, great. So what I heard you say was you're taking responsibility for shifting that in such a way that you're no longer going to be obliged to do those things that were imposed upon you, but you're going to start taking responsibility for creating the freedom that really supports you. Is that accurate,
yeah.
Chuck?
Absolutely.
Great, thank you. One of the things I'd like to point out is that oftentimes, you know, we live in the either-or of things. What I mean by that is that we have it that we have to do one thing or another. We have to always choose. And oftentimes, if we shift that either-or thinking to and both, we can decide to honor our own values and be in choice about everything that we do, and we can make life work for ourselves and for others. So, you know, it's not just work or play. It's how can I find time to do both? How can I find time to provide for my family and have fun? I'm going to invite you to look at where you're not taking responsibility for actually manifesting those values that are most important to you. And one of the things that you'll find is that as you honor your most important values and as you free yourself up from the obligatory shoulds in your life, you'll have emerging values take over. And the emerging values are values that once you honor the life values that are critical to you, your hierarchy of needs elevates to the point where you now can look at other values as showing up. I'll give you an example. For a street person, one of the street person's values is finding their next meal. So as long as you're living in that survival mode, your value is survival. It's living and making it to the next day. But as you go beyond that, you become educated, you get a good job, you become entrepreneurial and run your own business. You elevate your position in life to one where you have a reserve around you. You now can look at other values. You can look at the value of fun and freedom and vacation and contribution, but you can't do that until some of the more pressing lower values are being honored. So I'm going to ask you to look at where are you lacking a reserve in what area of your life? And we're going to go through the 6 areas in just a moment. And as we do, I'm going to ask you, in order to put closure on your past and really tend to some unfinished business, take a look at each of these areas and mark down those areas that still have some work to be done with respect to where you can develop a reserve, where you can free yourself from chaos and from stress in life, where you can honor your values and you can actually enhance each of these areas. So where is there a drain on your energy, and which of these command your attention and steal your power? First area that we're going to look at is the area of health, appearance, and personality. And I'm going to invite you to look in a number of areas. And if any of these ring a bell, just jot them down if you would. And these will be areas that you'll be working on this evening and in our next session to break up and to move beyond. How is your appearance? Are you happy with your appearance? Do you have any lingering physical problems or any chronic conditions that you haven't taken care of? Are you in good health, both dentally, physically, mentally? Have you seen a doctor lately? Do you get a regular physical exam? Are you taking drugs? Are you abusing alcohol? Do you smoke at all? Do you look your best, or could you be due for a bit of a makeover with respect to your clothes and your hair and your nails and your appearance overall? Do you brush and floss your teeth daily? Are your eyes checked recently, and is your vision good? Do you need glasses or contact lenses to be updated? Do you dress neatly? Do you smell good? Do you make a good impression on the people that you come in contact with? Is your home and your office and your car a reflection of who you are, or is it a mess? Do you have any unhealthy habits, like biting your nails or anything else that detracts from who you are, that detracts from your self-esteem? Are you at your ideal weight, or do you need to tone up or maybe lose some weight? Are you anxious, or are you nervous typically? Are you creative and imaginative? Do you have a good sense of humor? Do you react in an angry way to what people say and do on a typical basis? Do you speak poorly about yourself, or do you tolerate others speaking poorly about you? Do you experience upsets on a daily basis? And are you willing to get to the source of those upsets? Is your life purposeful and organized? Are you easily stressed out? And do you expect life to always get better and better, or are you resigned to it being about the same as it is now, if not worse? If any of those areas rang a bell for you, I'm going to ask you to jot them down, and we're going to work on those a little bit later, both today and the next time, with putting closure to the area of health, appearance, and personality. The second area is your wealth, your finances, your career, and your occupation. And I'm going to ask you, with respect to these areas, first of all, do you save a significant portion of your earnings weekly or monthly so that you have a reserve? Are you living week to week or month to month or even day to day? Are your credit cards paid in full monthly so that you don't have any unreasonable debt dangling over your head? Are your taxes paid regularly and are your returns filed on time? Do you have adequate insurance to protect against unfortunate losses or illnesses that you can't handle without the insurance? Is your business in good financial order? Are you respected at work and with your peers? Do you overwork? Do you manage your debts in a way that you're current and responsible? Is your work fulfilling and do you love what you do? Or is it something that you just do for the money, but honestly, if the money weren't the issue, you wouldn't be doing it? Do you consider yourself and do others consider you to be honest, likable, and trustworthy? Do people respect your abilities? Are you dependable? Do you determine your own destiny, or do you let other people determine it for you? Do you enjoy new challenges and healthy risks, or are you pretty resigned to the same old state of affairs, even if it doesn't support you? Have you settled for a job that has you playing small? Do you greet every day with eager anticipation and love what you do, or do you dread going to work? Do you delegate to others the tasks that you don't need to do yourself, or do you do the menial tasks because you're not good at making requests? So again, in that area of wealth, finances, career, and occupation, make some notes as to what's missing there. The next area we're going to look at is relationships. And with relationships, ask yourself, do you make friends easily? Do you have many close friends? And are your relationships rewarding and fulfilling? Do you associate with people that you're proud to call your friends? Or are your friends kind of unsavory characters that you're somewhat embarrassed of? Do you feel comfortable in social situations? Or do you hide out? Are you good at making and keeping commitments? Do you have any toxic relationships where you're suffering abuse and they really don't serve you, and it would serve you better to end those relationships? Are you overly dependent upon any one person? Do you trust others, and do they trust you? Are you on time for your appointments? Are you living life gossip-free, or do you tend to gossip on a regular basis? Are you judgmental? Do you judge everything that happens, like many of us have a tendency to do? Do you withhold communication or love in any of your relationships? Do you respect the values of others? And are your relationships authentic, warm, and truthful? Do you have close and intimate relationships? Are you a good communicator and a good listener? Do you enjoy times with friends and sharing time with your spouse or your partner? Have you forgiven anyone that's hurt you? Are you consumed by guilt, or are you easygoing and seldom moody? Do you display any abusive behavior yourself? Do you live in hope that by chance someday you'll meet the right person who will make your life right, or are you proactive in going out and meeting that person? Do you have any problem in having your needs met or asking for them to be met? And are you really taking responsibility for making every aspect of your life work optimally? So I'm going to ask you, which of your relationships aren't optimal, and what can you do to shift those relationships in order to enhance them, to make them better, to make them more rewarding? And one of the key relationships that we're going to talk about next is family relationships. Is it true that you love your family, that they love you, and that you tell each other so? Do you have any unresolved anger toward any family members? Do you have any family legal and financial records that are out of order or in disarray? Have you forgiven everyone who has hurt you in your family? Have you apologized to anyone who you've hurt? Do you regularly make time to connect with your family? And do you gossip or allow any unhealthy behavior in your family to happen? And are you a co-conspirator in any of those relationships? Where is there unhealthy, unfulfilling family behavior going on for you? The next area is personal and spiritual development. The first question is, do you take time for your personal development? Do you make it a priority in your life? This is kind of preaching to the choir, since you're all on this call, which is a personal development call. I acknowledge you for all of that. Do you have a clear and written vision for your life, and do you read that vision daily? We're going to be talking a little bit more about vision in the next session. Do you have a powerful relationship with your higher power, with your God? Are you confident in your self-worth? Do you have a life or a business coach or both? Are you living life to the fullest? And do you read and listen to material that nurtures your greatness regularly and inspires you? Or are you finding yourself stuck in front of the television set, really looking at no-mind programming that really doesn't support your excellence? Are you knowledgeable about current events? Do you act on your intuition? Have you learned to trust your intuition? Are you in touch with your values? And does your life express those values fully? Are you aware of your gifts? And we're going to talk a little bit more later about gifts. And do you contribute those gifts fully to others? And do you tell the truth? Also, do you know what legacy you're going to be leaving to the world? In other words, how are you making the world a better place? The last of the six areas is recreation and fun. This is an area where many of us tend to neglect from time to time. So I'm going to ask, first of all, do you have fun regularly, at least weekly? Do you have hobbies that you find rewarding, or do you just work all the time? Do you balance work and play? Do other people consider you to be a fun person? Do you take time out just for you? If you have pets, are they in good health? Are they well-groomed and cared for? Where are you not making time for recreation and fun, and what will you do to add this to the mix? With respect to those six areas, the value of this exercise is really not to put yourself down or to berate yourself for any weaknesses. You know, everyone has strengths and areas that can be developed and attitudes that can be changed to support their happiness and their excellence. The intention of this exercise is now to create a preliminary list of all of the items that you will decide to work upon, and then prioritize your list so that you can set specific deadlines for addressing every item on that list, crafting a plan to handle any of those items. As you do so, you'll really learn to accelerate your strengths and reframe your weaknesses. So I'm going to stop here for a moment and ask, does anyone have any of those areas that you're going to be working on that are missing in any of those six areas?
Joe, this is Hillary.
Yes, Hillary.
Yeah, for me, over the past maybe month or so, one of the things that I've been focusing on is being so absorbed with being busy and not sort of zooming in on the things that really matter, like when I went to put on a pair of jeans and realized that we're getting really uncomfortable, so I thought, uh-oh. So I happened to be listening to one of the Napoleon Hill tapes about the Success Six. And so I thought, well, you know, if I don't plan for a change, it's not going to happen. So I've started making a commitment to get up earlier in the morning to work out. And so, like, last week I lost 4 pounds. So had I not, you know, taken responsibility, I'd still think that, you know, I was in this realm of juggling rather than, you know, trying to prioritize my goals. Mm-hmm. And so that has been working for me. And the byproduct of that is, you know, I've got more energy, so when it comes to my business, I'm having more of a positive attitude in approaching that as well.
That's wonderful, Hillary. Thank you for that insight. You know, prioritizing is so important, where we tend to do oftentimes the easiest things first, or the things that we like to do the best or dislike to do the least, as opposed to the things that will move us forward most effectively and have the greatest impact on our lives.